Well, I'll read. This is another passage, seems very similar to what we just read, but Luke 6, 37 and 38. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not judge. Now, you remember we started a couple of weeks ago, and we were thinking about this, with the bottle bank. And I told a story of recently taking a large bag of various forms of glassware to the bottle bank. There were jars from jam and from bottles of sauce and all the rest of it. There were bottles that had beer in them, there were bottles that had spirits in them, and there was a broken glass as well. And I told you about the situation of a couple of locals sort of milling around as I was putting all these things into the bottle bank, and thinking to myself that it didn't look good. And I went into a fair bit of detail, and almost in a way I was tempting you to sin by judging me. In the way as though you've been sitting in a car, maybe in the car park, watching me firing these bottles in. Oh, minister's got a problem. And yet, as we went into a fair bit of detail about, when we don't have all the information, we can't make a right judgment. And you certainly don't have enough information when you just see me putting some bottles in a bottle bank, because you have no idea whose bottles they are, what happened to the contents of them, where they consumed, where they poured down the sink, how many people consumed them, were they consumed over a weekend, were they consumed over a year. You just don't know that. And you can't therefore make any judgment about the person who's putting the bottles into the bottle bank. But you know how tempting it is to judge, because judgment makes for sensation, which makes for good gossip, which keeps the jungle telegraph alive, and which makes the world around in communities. Because if we have good gossip, often there's not much to talk about but the weather. And that is where we really, really, really need to listen to Jesus and to address our hearts about this. Now, before we sort of dive in again, I wanted just to try and make something clear, because people immediately come back to Jesus, not just to me really, but to Jesus in a sense, say, but Jesus, don't we need to judge? Because don't we need to kind of look and figure out whether, you know, someone's in the right or in the wrong? Well, Jesus and the apostles call that kind of thing discernment. And he says to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, just a little bit later on, actually, verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. Now, here's the difference between judging and discernment. You can discern someone when you see the fruit on the tree. Like, if I pick an apple off a tree, what kind of tree is it? It's an apple tree. It's not difficult. It's an apple tree. If I see someone attacking someone else with a knife, then I might be able to discern, here is someone who is doing a wrong, who is committing a crime, who is sinning against God and against a fellow man. And I can discern that. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. What Jesus is talking about here is judging that we must never, never do. Ever. It's where you find the fruit on the ground. And you look around and there are various trees it could have come from. And you decide it came from that tree. That's judging. That's where you are using the very limited amount of information you have to make a judgment which you cannot really make. Like, a wrong has been done. There's various people who might have done it, but she's the prime suspect. And we think of that person as having done the wrong until it really becomes in our minds a certainty. And then we start talking about our certainty as a speculation, and then it becomes a firm fact in the minds of the community, all because of the evil of our judging, where we didn't have the information. You see the difference? Judging is where you find the fruit on the ground and you don't really know which tree it came from, but you decide. Discerning is where the fruit is on the tree and you know the person's caught red-handed, if you like. So, Jesus commands us not to judge. That means Jesus never judged. Because if he commands us to do something, he himself is subject to the things that he commands us to do. Jesus did not judge. Now, I suppose in our minds it's very easy for us to say something along the lines of, well, Jesus is God, so, you know, he could judge. But then, wait a minute, if he is God, he knows everything, so he knows all the facts. So he's not passing judgment. He's simply looking at things as they really are and knowing the way they really are. But Jesus, remember, although he was God, he did not access the divine knowledge. He humbled himself and he was made like us. And so you'll often see this in the Gospels. Jesus doesn't know things. And he tells us that. Somebody says Jesus is surprised. And he says quite a bit in the Gospel of John on the subject of judging. Which really is, and I mean, it's a long, long time after I became a Christian before I even start to wrestle with this, but it really is pretty striking. By myself, I can do nothing. This is Jesus being humble. He's not come to use his divine power and knowledge just to make an easy life for himself and to do what he pleases in the world. He has come. And he has come as a human being. And he is dependent on the Father and on the Holy Spirit. I judge, he says, only as I hear. This is his dependence. This is him saying, if you hear me say something about someone that I couldn't have known just by looking at them, it's because I've heard it. And my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself. And that's judging. When we judge, we're just pleasing ourselves. But I seek to please him who sent me. So where does Jesus hear the information that allows him to say something that he couldn't have known just by looking? Does he hear it from people? Well, that's what we do. We even have a word for it. We call it hearsay. Or sometimes it may be just us trusting our own judgment on things. But Jesus is not saying that I judge only as I hear from other people, or I judge only as I hear from myself. Jesus tells us not to do that. John 7, verse 24, he says, stop judging by mere appearances and make right judgment. So you can't just look at a thing, look at the bottles been in the bottle bank, or, you know, whatever it is that you're wondering about in the neighbourhood, and make up your mind about the motives, about who's done it and who's guilty and what they're guilty of and so on. You can't do that. That's hearsay. That's sin. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. When he judges, only as I hear. And of course, it's from him who sent me that he's hearing. And he says that explicitly. So he says again to the people, you judge by human standards. You mustn't do that, he says. Do not judge. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. So where did the judgment come from? Jesus heard it. He heard it from the Father who sent him. Remember that Jesus, like ourselves, only has access to what his five senses tell him, unless the Holy Spirit tells him more. And so he says, I judge, I am judging, literally, I am judging no one. I don't do it. I just don't do it. But if I do judge, I've heard. I've heard. And we need to let that sink in. Jesus didn't fill in the gaps the way we do. You know, we say, oh, we see the fruit in the ground, and we go all the way back to find out which tree it's on, and we see something suspicious, something wrong, someone doing something, and we go all the way back to figuring out and accusing what the motives are, you know, how it came about and so on, when we don't know. Jesus doesn't fill in the gaps. If he doesn't know things, he doesn't judge what they might be. He doesn't judge unless he hears from the Holy Spirit, from the Father. This is profound. I find this myself very challenging because it's probably one of the most endemic and widespread sins in the human race. The sin of filling in the gaps and passing judgment on our fellow human beings, in which we are basically condemning them without cause. So let me illustrate Jesus not judging. Here's a little episode in the Gospels, and you can easily read over it without really thinking about it at all, but someone in the crowd one day said to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So we don't know anything about the circumstances, but there's a man, there's his brother, and there's an inheritance. And whatever the reasons are, the man that's in the crowd calling out Jesus is not happy. So he is requiring of Jesus a judgment. But notice, with his five senses, Jesus just does not even begin to have enough information to make any judgment. And so he asks the man, who appointed me a judge? Why do you think I can judge your inheritance? Who made me an arbiter between you? Okay. So Jesus doesn't immediately jump on side with the man the way we often do. You know, your neighbours say, oh, you know, my so-and-so said this to me and it was really hurtful and so on. And we're immediately with our neighbour, oh, that's a terrible thing so-and-so said. We don't know what so-and-so said. We only know what our neighbours said to us about what so-and-so said. We don't know whether it was misunderstood or misheard. So we can't take sides. And Jesus doesn't. He doesn't pass a judgment that he cannot make with his five senses. And it does appear in this situation, the Holy Spirit does not tell Jesus what to do, what to say. It doesn't say, actually, you know, this is where the fault lies, and so tell this man this. It doesn't do that. So Jesus instead steps back from the situation, addresses the whole crowd, doesn't condemn the man, but he just says, you know, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. He doesn't say the man is greedy. He's just making a general statement about a common problem, inheritances and people wanting their share or more than their share, whatever. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus resists the temptation to jump on board. Jesus is a sinless man. He is free from pride and from moral and spiritual blindness. He is free. He is filled with the Spirit beyond measure. But he doesn't judge. What about us? Well, we are not fit to judge. We, on the other hand, are not sinless. And we are blinded by our pride and by our moral and spiritual corruption. And we are limited by the frailty of our minds. And we are not filled beyond measure with the Holy Spirit. Indeed, we grieve the Spirit. And yet, we still presume to judge. Taking sides over inheritances when we don't know the whole story. Taking side with the person we're having a coffee with about their grievance, about someone else, when we don't know the story. Remember, by the mouth of two or three witnesses at the law court, things were to be established. But if you only got one witness there, you do not have even the beginnings of enough knowledge to make a judgment in court with a full trial. You're certainly not a court there sitting having a coffee. Do not judge, Jesus says. You know, we want to judge. You know, want to come alongside a friend. Well, how would you deal with that situation? Well, be careful. This is something I've observed and learned. For example, doing marriage counseling. You sit down with a husband. You get the story. You sit down with a wife. You get the story. And you wonder if it's the same marriage you're talking about. But if you only sat down with the wife or with the husband, you would think that was the story. And if you only sat down with the one brother in the crowd there, you'd think that's the story. But we don't know the story. We just don't even begin to have the information we would need to make a judgment about the rights and the wrong. And beyond that, to make a judgment about the motives and attitudes of the people involved. You see, that man is trying to get judgment everywhere in the crowd. He's given the whole crowd on side. Oh, what a terrible brother you must have. And I'm sure many people are like that in the crowd towards him. And Jesus stops that totally. To step back. You have no idea what this man's story is. But watch about your own hearts. Would you want to judge this man's situation and come on side with him because of your own greed? And then listen to ourselves praying. This is a challenge too. Do you ever try and tell Jesus what to do? You know, Lord, you know, this world leader, he or she is saying this. Lord, I think you should do this to them. Lord, I ask you to do this for them. I ask you to convict them, and you know, I ask you to change their minds. I ask you to make them think this instead. We have no business doing that. This is telling God what to do, passing judgment on the person, and then making it your prayer. There are things we can pray for world leaders, and repent and believe is often the thing we need to go to. Please, Lord, will you please turn the hearts of these world leaders to yourself, as well as our own hearts to yourself. So we just don't know enough. Our judgment system is like the bottles in the bottle pack. It's broken. It's fallen and it's smashed. It's broken. Every preacher knows the danger when preaching and when preparing of judging people in the congregation. It's really hard. You know, this bit of the message tonight is for him. How do I know that? The hardest thing to do when you're preparing is to make sure that you only prepare between yourself and God. You don't prepare to try and preach at two individuals what you think they need to hear. In other words, you must not judge. So we all need help here. We all need a great deal of help. And when we judge, we grieve the Lord. When we judge, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When we judge, we earn his rebuke. So here's another story. So as the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan. Now remember that word, Samaritan. A Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading to Jerusalem. This is the old rivalry between the Samaritans, whom the people of Israel thought were just half-bloods religiously and half-pagan religiously. And the Samaritans thought that Jews just thought far too much of themselves. And there was a big deal of 600 years of history behind that. They did not welcome Jesus because he was heading for Jerusalem. And the disciples, James and John, and it was John as well, saw this. They asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? Judgment. But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Now, you might say, oh, wait a minute, doesn't this kind of thing happen in the Old Testament? Yes, it does. But we're not living in the Old Testament. Don't we sometimes even sing these things in the Psalms? Yes, we do. But we recognize that we are of a different spirit. The spirit of Jesus rebukes judgments on our fellow human beings. I wonder if we've ever wished that something bad would happen to someone that we thought was a bad person and deserved it. Bet you have. I'm sure you have. You know, have you thought certain world leaders, well, you know, just maybe they'll get assassinated or something. Remove them from the earth, Lord. Sweep them away. These are the kind of things we hear in the Psalms. But Jesus says, do not judge. Do not judge. The flesh loves to judge. The flesh loves to think of retribution, to condemn and to pass judgment and to deliver a sentence and then to imagine it being carried out. But the Holy Spirit is looking for mercy in this world. And we don't want the church to be a condemning climate of James's and John's calling down fire. We've done that. We've done that in the church, and we mustn't be like that. We mustn't be them and us. We must be looking out in the community and saying, Lord, send down fire on these drug dealers in Kyle. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on the drug dealers in Kyle. Turn them to yourself. Jesus rebukes the judgment because if there is an atmosphere of judgment in the church, there's an atmosphere of judgment in the world, of course. Of course there is. The world is grace less, mercy less. There's an atmosphere of judgment in the world. The world is always finding new things to judge people for. These days, it might be some new ideology that people have got about sexuality or whatever it is. But there'll be something else in 5 years' time. The world keeps finding new things. Keeps finding new things by which to set itself up as righteous and to condemn those who don't think the same way. But that's not the church. The church is rebuked if it does that by Jesus himself. Do not judge. Because if the church is like the world, people get lost. Eternally lost. Jesus' plan is different. Let's just see what happened to Samaria. A little while later, Jesus promised the disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And James and John probably thought, Samaria, didn't we call down fire in that place recently? We judged it. Jesus says, no, that's not my purpose. So what happens? Acts chapter 8. Philip went down to Samaria and preached. And there was a spiritual awakening. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard this, that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria, where thankfully he did not find scorched earth. But he found people who were still alive because Jesus didn't call down fire, or didn't let them call down fire, but because Jesus is merciful. And didn't judge them. And when Peter and John arrived, they prayed for the Samaritans that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And they did. And then it says, Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Peter and John. So, John did call down fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit on the Samaritans. Isn't that wonderful? But it wouldn't have been wonderful if John had got his way a couple of years previously, or maybe just a year previously, and got the fire that would scorch the earth and destroy the Samaritans called down on them. I'm sure that point wasn't lost in John. I'm sure he thought to himself, I have discovered what spirit I am of as a follower of Jesus. And it is a spirit that wants to be bringing the witness of mercy, the mercy of God into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, to the Gentiles. And that's another story. So John, who was wanting to judge, but got rebuked for doing so because Jesus tells us that we must never, ever, ever pass judgments. John got, instead of scorched earth and a lot of dead Samaritans who are lost forever, he got to go and tell those Samaritans about the Jesus who loved them so much that he saved them from judgment and took upon himself the judgment that they deserved. So do not judge. In the situations we go into, which are full of judgments, the world's judgments, let us absorb that. Let us just not respond to it. Let us not join in the judging. Let us not condemn. Let us just let it happen. But we have a spirit of mercy. And we know if we join the judging, people will be lost because they won't listen to the gospel. They won't hear gospel and judgment. But if, once the judging's all been said and done, we reach out in mercy to those who are condemned, to those who condemn one another, to those who live always trying to be seen to be on the right side of the judgments of society, that instead we just step aside from that and follow Jesus and bring mercy where it may not be deserved. Mercy never is deserved. Bring mercy to people who may or may not have done bad things, but bring mercy. And look at the Lord putting his Holy Spirit in those people who would otherwise have been condemned.